we head to Washington for our weekly look at the latest in national politics. Two more Republican contenders have entered the primary race this week. One, Jeb Bush, considered a front runner. The other, Donald Trump, seen as a wild card in the race.
Congress has a lot on its plate. Meanwhile, Democrats backing a new trade agreement are trying to pick up the pieces after fast-track legislation failed last week. And Republicans are meeting today to talk about what they'll do if the U.S. Supreme Court rules against many of the subsidies provided under Obamacare. Here with us now is Ken Vogel, Chief Investigative Correspondent at Politico. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Let's start with the presidential race. Jeb Bush announcing his candidacy in Miami on Monday. He had a slow start in his pre-campaign, which I guess is a thing that we have now. What does Jeb Bush need to do at this point to make up the ground he lost before he announced?
Well, it's never going to be as easy as some believe for Jeb Bush. Sure, he has the name. He has the fundraising base. And he has sort of a moderate bearing about him that really made him a superstar with major donors and sort of GOP elites here in Washington, and sort of had them believing that he would have a cakewalk to the nomination. But those very things that they regarded as selling points are seen as sort of detriments among the many in the Republican base, where he is seen as too moderate, as too beholden to GOP business interests. And some of the stances that he's taken on hot-button issues like immigration reform, which he supports, the Common Core educational reform, which he also supports, are seen as anathema in the Republican base. So he's got to keep on with this very delicate balancing act of trying to appeal to folks in the Republican base with a message of experience and a track record of accomplishment in Florida, while simultaneously keeping the folks in the Republican Party elite and the donor class happy. That is not an easy line to walk. It tripped up Mitt Romney, who was very similarly positioned to Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush is trying to give it another go in a much more crowded field that potentially could play into his benefit.
Well, I was going to say, Mitt Romney, a lot of what you just said applied to him last time around. We saw through the campaign one candidate after another being the Romney alternative. Ultimately, the alternative was Mitt Romney. So is it different this time around? Do you think there are really more serious challengers to Jeb Bush than Mitt Romney faced?
There are definitely more serious challengers, folks who we, you know, as odds makers sort of assess as having the trappings of a more credible campaign structure and a more viable path to the nomination. But some of the same dynamics are still in play. That is this need to balance the sometimes competing and contradicting imperatives of the GOP base and the GOP elites and donors. And Jeb Bush has some competition in that regard as well, in that there are a number of candidates who are vying for that same sort of establishment mantle that he is vying for and that Mitt Romney successfully assumed and eventually rode to the Republican nomination, although not before there was a very damaging and very drawn-out primary. That's what Jeb Bush is trying to avoid. I think he is regarded as less of a favorite than Mitt Romney was back in 2012, and that there are more viable competitors.
Now, people have been making a lot of the campaign signage here. The word Jeb featured very prominently. The word Bush, not so much. So is he trying to chart a separate course from his brother and his dad, both presidents?
Yeah, I mean, that's the blessing and the curse of being, you know, an establishment candidate with not just a network of folks who had supported previous establishment successful candidates, those being his father and his brother, but he's even more linked to them, obviously, by virtue of his last name than, say, a Mitt Romney, who was trying to tap into that same network. And while I think he's done a pretty good job, despite having already shaken up his campaign staff, with that balance and sort of walking that tightrope that we talked about, nonetheless, his one sort of major policy stumble that we've seen over Iraq and the Iraq War, and whether a question about whether he would have done things differently, which he seemed to suggest initially that he wouldn't, and then kind of backtrack over the course of a week to a much more nuanced position that may not convince people in the long run, is really evidence of just how difficult of a path it's going to be for him with that last name.
Well, also announcing this week, a man never shy about sharing his last name, Donald Trump, jumped into the race yesterday. He's teased this idea repeatedly in past elections, really doing it this time. He's got this celebrity recognition outside of the political world. Is this a publicity stunt, or is he really campaigning?
I think it's probably both, that he actually is campaigning. I mean, he has taken steps towards having an actual campaign in the past, even when he's just teased, and that he spent some of his own money on it. That's what he's doing right now. He actually has operations on the ground in Iowa and New Hampshire, maybe more than some of the candidates who we would assess as more credible candidates. Nonetheless, he is Donald Trump, so it's tough to really take him seriously, and that's going to be his challenge if he does want to be a viable candidate and not just to have this as a publicity stunt. That said, even if it's just a publicity stunt, he does have the potential to impact the race because he has such high name identification, which has put him in the top 10 in polls, the critical top 10 that is going to be necessary to get into some of the debates in this sprawling field. And he has the money to be able to foot the bill out of his own pocket to get around and do the things that are necessary to meet voters and to continue to register in those polls. And because, as you alluded to, he is a bomb thrower, he is outrageous, he is something of a provocateur, he is going to force some of these other candidates to respond to them. So far, they've tried to laugh it off. In some cases, literally, Jeb Bush actually barely suppressed a laugh when he was asked yesterday about Donald Trump's entry into the race. But I think eventually when you get up there on the debate stage with a Donald Trump and he pushes you on a policy like immigration, where he has a real sort of drastic plan to build a gigantic wall between the U.S. and Mexico and have the Mexicans pay for it, like, good luck with that. But something outrageous like that at a debate is gonna sort of compel some of the other candidates to get into their own plans and maybe even drag them to the right or force them to propose something equally bold.
Talking national politics with Ken Vogel from Politico. Let's turn for the presidential race to Congress. A lot going on there. A setback for this proposed Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement supported by the president and many Republicans fell short last week. Pro-trade Democrats are trying to bring it back. Do they have a chance? Will we see this come back to votes?
Potentially. I mean, the GOP is really driving the bus on this. And they have devised a sort of plan B to overcome some of the Democratic opposition, and their current plan is to sort of separate the fast-track bill, known as the Trade Promotion Authority, from the Trade Adjustment Assistance. That's the worker aid package that Democrats had voted down to try to derail the whole package. It's sort of unclear if the White House is, you know, where the White House stands on this, but President Obama is holding meetings at the White House today with key House and Senate Democrats who are trying to decide whether they are going to go along with Obama potentially, you know, in some sort of compromise with Republican leadership that would really buck the Democratic Party leadership and create a real rift that is also has 2016 implications, and that it really plays into this idea that it's hot in the Democratic base, that there needs to be whether it's protectionism or otherwise, there needs to be some domestic and some combination of domestic and international trade policies that help bridge the gap between the haves and the have-nots. This idea that you hear about rising income inequality, Hillary Clinton has, as a result, sort of been put on the spot on this debate on this bill and has not really come up with a very clear answer about whether she supports it. She said she wants to see what's in the final package, and as I just discussed, it's going to be potentially a little ways before we have some sense as to what the final package, if there is a final package, for sort of a reboot of this effort.
Well, also in Congress today, Republican leadership briefing lawmakers about their plan in case the King versus Burwell Supreme Court decision takes away health care subsidies for Americans, at least 34 states. This is all under the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. So this is a big deal. If these subsidies are lifted, what do we know about what Republicans are thinking to do in reaction to that?
Well, there have been some meetings between the on the Senate side of Senate Republicans to try to craft a plan. You know, this is a little bit of careful what you wish for. Obviously, Republicans in 2014 and 2012 campaigned and 2010 campaigned on getting rid of Obamacare and how terrible it was. But now, of course, it's been in effect for some time and it's had a chance to sort of demonstrate its benefits to people. If this decision ends up in repealing some or all of some of these programs, it could erase health insurance subsidies for people in at least 34 states, a majority of which are red states. So it kind of puts Republicans even more in a bind. One of the things that they're talking about is a temporary assistance program that would be provided to people who are losing those subsidies. It's not really clear what that would look like, how much assistance it would provide or how long it would provide it for. Senate Republican leadership supports a plan from Senator Ron Johnson right there in Wisconsin to extend the subsidies through 2017 while repealing the law's requirements to have health insurance, to have an offer insurance. The 2017 date there is notable, of course, because it would put off sort of a final resolution until after the 2016 general election.
Well, we'll be watching for that Supreme Court decision. I'm sure you will too, Ken. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, it was my pleasure.
That's Ken Vogel, chief investigative correspondent at Politico, talking about the latest in national politics.